And I'm just going to read one verse for the sake of time, but I'll be referencing several other verses in this chapter, so I would like for you to keep your Bible handy. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 8. 2 Kings 4, 8. The scripture says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this occasion when we try to celebrate our mothers. But Lord, I pray you'd help us each day to be thankful for our mothers. And I am truly thankful for my mother, thankful for my wife, thankful for good mothers all over this world. And Lord, I ask that you please give them a very special day, that you'd bless them. And I pray, Lord, that as I try to preach now, that you would loose my tongue and give me liberty, that I might say exactly what you want said. Lord, to put in my mind and my mouth your words. And I pray that each one of us would have ears to hear. We'd have hearts to receive what you have for us. And Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be another service where we come and we go through the motions, hear preaching and get up and leave and nothing in our life be any different. I pray, Father, that we would get something today that we would hold on to, something that will make a lasting change and a lasting difference in the days and years to come. And Lord, we thank you most of all for dying on the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. We give you the praise and the glory for all things and ask and pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The title for the message today is A Great Woman. A Great Woman. And as you can see, I took the title from the verse that we just read. I took the title from 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 8, where the Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman." And just to set you ladies' minds at ease, I want to say that when it says here she was a great woman, it has no reference at all to her weight. So you don't have to worry about that. Amen. That was supposed to have been a joke, but it didn't go over very well. Maybe. But he isn't talking about her weight. It's talking about her status or her position. It's referring to how she was a woman of significance or importance. That's what it means when it says she was a great woman. And from what we read in this text, we learn that at this time she was married to a man who had become old. We see that down in verse number 14. So evidently there was somewhat of an age gap between this lady and the man she was married to. We also learn that when she met and started becoming acquainted with Elisha the prophet, she was childless. This is seen too in verse number 14 of this chapter. But when we look at verses 15 through 17, we see that her story begins to take a turn for the better. And what we see here is that by the power of God operating or working through Elisha the prophet, and you'll remember that Elisha was a man of God who was endowed with a double portion of the Spirit that was on his master Elijah. So by the power of God that is working through Elisha, this woman conceived and bare a son. You read that in verse number 17. It says there, "And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life." So things take a turn for the better. And I say for the better because at this particular time, and really on for many years before and after, ladies wanted to have children. That was the desire that they had. They wanted to have children. So at this point, when she is able to conceive and bear a son, it's something that was a great blessing to this woman. So her story takes a turn for the better. She becomes a mother. And since today is Mother's Day, I want to spend a few minutes showing you from the scripture why, in my opinion, this lady of Shunem was described as a great woman. What was it that made her great? Why was she considered in the eyes of God, we'll say, to be a woman of significance and importance? And I have no doubt that she was probably a great woman among the women and among the people of Shunem. But I think also in the eyes of God, and that is really more important. Amen. It isn't totally insignificant how people see you, but how people see you isn't nearly as important as how God sees you. And I believe that in the eyes of God, this lady was a great woman. And I hope and pray that every woman here today has the desire down in her heart to be a great woman in the eyes of God. And let me say before I go any further that you don't have to be a mother to be a great woman. I know that we have some ladies present today who don't have children, and I don't want you to ever feel inferior. I don't want you to ever think that you're less of a woman or less of a person if you don't have children now or if you never have children in the future. You do not have to be a mother to be a great woman. In fact, there are a lot of women in our world today who have given birth to a child, or maybe they've given birth to children, and are you listening to me? They are anything but a great woman in the eyes of God. But on the other side of that coin, there are women who have no children, and maybe they're not able to have children, but they are some of the godliest women that I've ever met. So you don't have to be a mother to be a great woman. And my point is that this message applies to you, whether you have children or you don't have children. If you are a woman, I want you to understand that this message has application for your life. And again, I hope and pray that what you desire, what you hunger for, the craving and the longing of your heart this morning and every morning is that you be a great woman in the eyes of God. And I'm just going to try to show you a few practical things from this chapter that I believe made this woman a great woman. First of all, I see here in this passage that this lady of Shunem was a woman of perception. A woman of perception. Look again, if you would, please, at verse number 8. And notice it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him," that is, she constrained Elisha, "to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said," this lady said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually." She was a woman of perception. She met Elijah and she welcomed Elijah into their home so that she could provide him food to eat. And as he would come by there, in fact, it says in verse 8, "As oft as he passed by, he would turn in thither to eat bread." He'd stop by whenever he came through Shunem, and she would provide him a meal, something to eat. And in getting to know him, to become more acquainted with him, she perceived that Elisha wasn't just any ordinary man, that he wasn't just some average old Joe. She understood that there was something different about this man. She perceived that he was, as she says, an holy man of God. That was her perception. That's what she discerned about Elisha. Let me ask you this. Was her perception correct? Was it correct? Absolutely. Elisha was an holy man of God. I've heard oftentimes about a woman's intuition. Y'all heard about that before? Well, here is a woman who had a godly intuition. She had some spiritual discernment about her. She was able to pick up on the fact that Elisha was a genuine prophet of God, and not just a prophet, but he was a holy man of God. She recognized that about him. So she was a woman of discernment, perception. We read earlier in Proverbs chapter 31 about the virtuous woman. I did not read this particular verse, but in that chapter you find that one of the characteristics of a virtuous woman is that she's a woman of perception. It says in that chapter that she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. One of the characteristics of a virtuous woman, a woman whose value, as the Bible says, is far above rubies. One of her characteristics is that she has perception. I'm talking about a godly perception. She has some spiritual discernment and sense about her. That's one of the marks of a virtuous woman. And I believe this is one thing that made this lady great, her perception. And I believe that's what the Lord wants all ladies to have. Once a woman grows up, especially when she gets saved, hopefully she gets saved and begins to mature as God wants her to do, the Lord wants her to have some spiritual discernment about herself. God doesn't want, y'all listening to me? Somebody look like he's zoned out already. Y'all listening to me? If you're a lady, God doesn't want you to be a simple, silly-minded woman who is easily deceived and led away by divers lusts, like Paul said to Timothy. He doesn't want you to just wander aimlessly through life, jumping on every bandwagon that comes along, being a silly, simple-minded woman. He doesn't desire that for you. He wants you to grow and develop and mature in your life to the point that you have some spiritual discernment about you, where you can pick up on things and figure certain things out that are very important, not just to yourself, but to your own children if you have children. Understand what I'm talking about here is not just important for the lady herself, but it's also very important for her children if she has children. God wants a woman, a mother, to be able to perceive about people and about things so that she can protect her children from people or things that might cause them great damage. Now, I know the society we live in tells us that we ought to just let them go and let them imagine whatever and let them make up their own minds. But, folks, y'all understand this morning, that's not what the Bible teaches. Y'all understand that? If you've bought into this idea that you're supposed to just let your kids go while they're growing up, I'm not talking about after they become adults and get out, but I'm talking about while they're young and they're growing up in your home, living under your roof. If you think in your mind that you're supposed to just let them go and let them think whatever they want to and make up their minds, which, by the way, the people who say they let their children do that are just lying hypocrites. They let them make up their minds about certain things. They don't let them make up their mind whether or not they're going to take a bath. Y'all follow what I'm saying? They don't let them make up their mind as to whether or not they're going to go to school. How many of you kids in here have had your mother tell you, you going to school whether you want to or not? Anybody? Are y'all following my line of thought here? They say, well, I just let my kids make up. No, you let your kids make up their mind about certain things. You don't let them make up their mind about everything. There's certain areas of their life where you're very emphatic and you don't give them a choice. But what's amazing to me is these people who will say, I'm going to make my children go to school, but then when Sunday rolls around, it's, what, do you feel like going to church today? You're going to make your children go to school. You're not going to give them any option or any choice, but you're going to let them decide whether or not they want to go to church on Sunday. Oh, Lord, help us. If you're going to make your children go to school, by all means, you ought to make them go to church. But a woman needs to have some godly intuition, some perception about herself. Because as long as that child or children are in their home growing up in their home, it is the responsibility of the parents to raise those children and to watch out for things that they know would cause their children damage. And it is perfectly all right for any father or any mother to say, you can't do that. Even if the child believes in their heart that it's what they need to do, it's the right thing to do, and even if they throw out the card, everybody else is doing it, which is always a lie. Everybody else in the world isn't doing it. Amen. But it's not for you to let them make up their mind. It's for you to have some discernment, some perception, and see, well, if my child goes there, if my child does this, if my child is around him or her or them, this is what is going to happen, and it's going to affect them negatively. It is up to the parents to see that and to make that decision for them. And you are perfectly within your right, contrary to what anybody tells you, you are perfectly within your right as a mother to say to your child, no, you can't go. Because they may not see the danger, but if you have some perception, you see that danger. You're able to pick up on it. She was a woman of perception. Let me show you something else here about this lady that I believe made her great. Not only a woman of perception, but she was a woman of priority. She was a woman of priority. There were certain things that were priorities in her life. She wanted to make sure that things were in the order, the proper order that God intended. I see this demonstrated in a couple of ways. First of all, when it came to her spouse. If you look there at verse number 9, you'll notice she said unto her husband. She's talking to her husband. Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Look at verse 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. She comes up with an idea. Elisha's passing through that area fairly regular, and she's opened up her home. She allows him to come in when he passes by. She fixes him some food, gives him a meal, and she comes up with an idea. She thinks, well, you know, it'd be a blessing if we could just fix him a little prophet's chamber, just a little room so that whenever he came through or comes through, he could stop by and rest and refresh himself. So what does she do when she comes up with this idea? You don't see anywhere that it's her husband's idea. It's the woman's idea. You know what that is? That's another illustration of her perception there. She perceives this would be a good thing to do. She perceives that this is a way we, as a couple, can be a blessing to this man. And so she comes to her husband, and she doesn't bust up in there on her husband and say, look here, I've had an idea, and bless God, this is what we're going to do around him. Y'all still with me? She comes in and she says, verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee. You know what she's doing? She's trying to talk this thing over with her husband and get his permission on this thing. She says, honey, this is what I'd like to do. I perceive this is a way we could be a blessing. I'd like for us to do this. I pray thee. You know what she's demonstrating there? She's demonstrating a spirit of submission with her husband. She's wanting to make sure that things are between her and her husband the way God says they're supposed to be. Y'all understand this morning there's an order that God has in the home? Y'all understand that? Y'all mighty quiet this morning. Maybe we need to have church tonight. God has established an order in the home. And this woman here obviously made that order a priority in her life. She wasn't a bossy wife. She didn't try to take charge and take the bull by the horns and rule the roost and tell her husband what he was going to do. That wasn't her spirit or her attitude at all. She had a spirit of submission with her husband, which is the way God intends for it to be. Now, you can get mad with me if you want to, but I'm just telling these ladies that, you know, bounce up in the house and they bossing their husband around all the time, talking about how they wear the britches and all that kind of business. Well, you can be that kind of woman if you want to be, especially if you got a husband that's scared of you. I'll get my sign out in a minute. It's just getting gooder and gooder. Some of you done pooched your lip out so far you're going to trip over it walking out this morning. I'll just dig the plow a little deeper. I'm going to tell you the truth. You can be that kind of woman if you want to. but you ain't going to have the blessing of God on your home. You ain't going to have it. There is a priority that needs to be placed there. And what we need is for men and women, both of us, but today's Mother's Day, okay? We need men and women that'll get back to the place, or maybe get to the place for the first time, where they say, we want things in our home to be the way God says they're supposed to be. And I make you a promise this morning. The homes and families around this land would be absolutely transformed if the husbands and wives would just do it the way God says it's supposed to be done. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right? Most homes today are not the way God says they're supposed to be. And let me ask you something. How are families doing, by the way? How are they doing nowadays? The divorce rate is on the climb. Every week of your life, you hear about families getting all busted. We're doing a great job. We took the bull by the horns, and we're doing it, yeah. And we're making a stinking mess out of it is what we're doing. If we want our families to turn around, and listen, talking about our country turning around, our country and our churches, none of that's going to turn around until our families turn around. And our families are not going to turn around until the men and the women in the home decide we're going to do it the way God says we're supposed to do it. And that was a priority for this lady. That's the reason why she is a great woman. But not only did I see it demonstrated with her spouse, I see it demonstrated in the things that were spiritual. She perceives that Elisha is a holy man of God. And you see what she does here? She comes to her husband with an idea to try to do something, be a blessing for this man of God. So obviously, things and people that are spiritual are a priority to her. She wants to help out people that she knows are holy, people that are men of God. So obviously, spiritual things are what are a priority to her. I believe that's very valuable and something that God intends for every lady. You want to be a great woman in the eyes of the Lord, do you? Do you want to be a great woman in the eyes of the Lord? Then you put priority on spiritual things. You don't waste your days and nights and all your time worried about stuff that's worldly and carnal. Investing in worldly, carnal, vain things, which is where a lot of people devote their time and devote their energy and devote their money. Would to God we could get women around this land, around just our country, to devote as much time and even more time to spiritual things as they do the stuff this society tells them they need to spend their time on. Just imagine what a difference that would make. Just imagine. Ladies, do you spend as much time reading your Bible as you do putting on your makeup? Whoa, did he say that? Yeah, I did. I said that. I'm all for painting up the barn door. I'm all for it. Put on much, well, you don't want to look like Jezebel, all right? But, put, you know, if you want to put something on, put it on. But do you care as much about how you are in the eyes of God, how you look to Him as you do the people that you work with? Are you as concerned about how God sees you as you are that fellow that you work with that you ought really not to be concerned about anyway? Man. I'm amazed at these women that'll dress up to impress men they're not married to. But then when they get home, they just take their teeth out and plop them down in a cup. Am I not good enough for you to dress up for anymore? There was a time when I was. Y'all know what I'm saying? There's something wrong with a lady. There's something wrong with a lady who's married, especially, who dresses up all the time just when she's going to be around people other than her husband. There's a problem with that. Maybe your husband would notice you a little more if you take your nightgown off, put your teeth back in your mouth. Amen. Y'all want Brother Dennis to come back, don't you? Let me show you something else. Here's another reason why I believe she was a great woman. She was a woman of provision. You see what she wanted to do here for this man of God? Verse 10 says, let us make a little chamber. I pray thee on the wall, let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither. Thither, she's wanting to provide for this man that she knows is traveling around trying to do what God's called him to do. And I just want to stop right here and just take a moment to thank the Lord for the people in this world who have a heart for helping missionaries, evangelists, pastors, folk that they know are truly, genuinely trying to serve the Lord. Thank God for those kind of people. I can think back over these years that I've been in the ministry, and I cannot tell you the times when somebody in the church where I was pastoring, or maybe it was somebody in another church somewhere, but they were one of God's children, and they were a tremendous blessing to me. They went out of their way to be a blessing to me and my family. Thank God for those kind of people. Thank the Lord for people that see people who are trying to do something for God, whether it be a man or a woman, irregardless. But they recognize, hey, this is a man of God. This is a woman of God. They're trying to serve the Lord. How can I be a blessing to them? Thank the Lord for those that will take a missionary and his family out for a meal, that'll bring them into their home and fix them a meal. You know, years ago, and this isn't said for my benefit, but years ago, I can remember stories, people telling me that it was just common thing on Sunday that the pastor got invited home to eat with somebody. Y'all remember them days when that's how it was? And I'm not saying that, please, to get y'all to invite me home for a meal, all right? I'm just telling you, there was a day where it seems to me that folk were a little more concerned about being a blessing to the pastor than they are nowadays. And I'm not saying that here. I'm just saying you see this trend, you might say, where they don't seem to be as concerned as they once were. But I can remember when I first came to this church, just a handful of people here, Brother Sam and Miss Dodie Cooper, almost every Sunday, for the longest time, invited us over to have a meal with them. And I haven't forgotten that. That was something that was a blessing to me and my wife. And I appreciate the fact that they did that for us. And several more of you, many more of you through the years that I've been here, you have been so kind and so generous toward me and my family, and I appreciate it. I just want to tell you this morning how much I appreciate it. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to other preachers. And listen, I know there's a whole lot of sorry, worthless, good-for-nothing preachers in this world today. I realize that. But how many of y'all know just because there's some sorry preachers in the world that not all of them are sorry? Not every missionary is worthless. Not every evangelist is just out to get your money. You understand? There's some good, godly men and women that are still trying to fulfill the call that God's put on their life. That's what they're trying to do. And thank the Lord for people like this woman right here that'll reach out and try to be a blessing to those kind of folk. And just try to lighten the load a little bit. To be a blessing and not a burden. To help them along their travels and in their day-to-day ministry. What a blessing. That is, in my opinion, one thing that made this woman great. And she's seen a man of God come through, and she said to her husband, hey, let's try to help this man out. She just wanted to make things a little easier for Elisha. Two other things, and I'm going to stop. It's 12 o'clock. She also was a woman of perspective. If you look on down at verse number 18, you'll notice it says, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, and he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Now that's a mother right there. Mother's love. That baby, well, he ain't a baby anymore. He's grown up some, but he comes in, his head's bothering him. You know what she does? She takes him up on her lap and she holds him there until he dies. That's just a mother's love. And isn't it amazing how when you have children that, like I noticed with Matthew, he just wants to be around me, be around me, be around me, or says he does anyway, and I know that day's coming when that ain't going to be the way it is anymore, but he wants to be around me. I had to make him hug his mother this morning on Mother's Day, you know. But let me tell you something. He gets sick You know who he wants? He don't want me and old daddy no more. He wants his mama when he gets sick. Just something about that mother's love. That boy gets up on his mama's knees and she holds him there till noon and then he dies. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out and she called under her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee." Notice that again, that spirit. She's not telling him what to do. She's asking him. "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." A woman of perspective. Her child just died. A child she obviously waited for a long time that was a blessing to her. He's gone now. And she's wanting to get out to where Elisha is. And she says, this is her perspective, "It shall be well." You know what she had? She had a positive perspective. Not negative, positive perspective. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Would to God we had more of this positive attitude. And I'm not talking about this silly mess you hear so much about nowadays. Have you ever met those people who every time you get around them, it's just negative, 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 negative? No matter what you tell them, if you come in with good news and give them a good testimony, they're going to interrupt your good testimony to tell you something negative. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just a negative spirit. No matter what, it's not going to be good. To them, everything is going to go bad. Everything's going to turn upside down. Nothing is ever going to work out. It's like they wake up every day just expecting the bottom to fall out and everything to be horrible all day long. It's like they go to the doctor and I know he's going to give me a bad report when I go. Well, I don't know what he's going to give you, but how about going to the doctor with this perspective? Whatever he says, I know that with God it shall be well. You can choose either a negative or positive perspective. It's up to you. I think the Lord would rather us have a positive perspective, don't you? Just trust in him that, hey, even if the situation doesn't work out exactly like we want, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. That'll do you a lot more good than being negative all the time. One last thing I see about this lady, she was a woman of persistence. She gets out there to where Elisha is, and I'm not going to read all of it, but Elisha sends his servant Gehazi back with his staff to lay on the boy and wants his mother to go back with Gehazi. But look at verse 30. And the mother of the child said, she's talking to Elisha, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." He sends Gehazi back with the staff to lay on the boy and wants her to go, but she says, "I ain't going nowhere. I'm staying right here with you." When she got to where that man of God was, she said, "I'm staying with you." Persistence. It reminds me of the story in the Bible where Jacob wrestles with that angel all night long. And just before the sun comes up, that angel says, "Let me go." And he said, "I'm not letting you go until you bless me. That's when I'll let you go." You need to be persistent in your life as a lady. As a woman of God, persisted in your praying, persisted in your studying, persisted in your church attendance, not just showing up every now and again, but faithful, persisted in your witnessing, and persisted in the raising of your children, persisted in that. Sometimes I know it's like beating your head against a wall, isn't it? But you stay with it, and you be persistent. And you see what God can do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I shortened the message up because we're out of time, but hopefully there was enough said that you can recognize maybe an area or two in your life that needs some work. I think all of us need some work. God help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. And I pray for every woman in this place, every lady, young or old, it makes no difference. I pray that their desire would be the kind of woman that you want them to be. And that's what they would hunger and thirst for, to be your woman, not the world's woman. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother.